You are listening to a sermon by Laura Erickson, recorded on Sunday, December 1st, 2024, at Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Good morning. I had wanted to speak some that time, someday, about nourishing seeds of hope. And we've been nourished this morning. Like, this is it. This is it. Come to the table of grace with a lump in your throat. We've been nourished, so I feel like I can close my book now and have you imagine about seeds of hope. Thank you for the prayer, really, because I knew that before I speak about hope, I needed to pray this prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Hope is a precious gift. I don't want to blow it, so that's why I needed the prayer. Advent is a time when we step into a story so much bigger than our own. It is stepping into a time as large as the cosmos, and there is great waiting happening, as Lauren reminded us few weeks ago. Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. This text has always felt expansive for me, full of mystery and awe. So what to our great creator God is the fullness of time? And what will it look like again one day? As Tish Harrison Warren writes, Advent collapses time. Advent is stepping into a stream of time from the ancient of days to the wonders and worries of our own time. And we wait for a future time when God in Christ will bring ultimate shalom on earth. Tish continues in her beautiful book of Advent, The Season of Hope. One of the main purposes of Advent is to develop in us a craving for wholeness, for eternity. By practicing the liturgical year, the church does the story of God. The whole point of Advent is to get us into the scriptures and get them into us. These ancient words are the sturdy beams that bear the weight of Advent hope. End of quote. But when we step in the largeness of eternity, we have to find starting words that will guide us, support us, invite us in as we open that door of Advent at whatever stage of life we're at. Advent asks the big question of what story am I a part of? To which story do I belong? And the themes of the four Sundays of Advent are starting words: hope, joy, peace, love. And today we start with hope. Although joy was my first response to Evan's first musical meditation this morning, and it was kind of wonderful to realize that these theme words all overlap each other: hope and joy and peace, peace and love. We can hardly take one without the others. The lectionary texts which we have read all speak of hope. And who of us does not need hope today? But in our era of instant gratification, hope sometimes feels complicated. Do I even have hope? Do I have enough hope? Do I dare to hope? What if it turns to despair again? A while ago, while we were gathered with some of our grandkids, we talked about many things. And one of the topics that came up was contrasts in our life. So the young 11-year-old said, "Life is not so much good and bad. Life is compelling and complex." And that's how hope feels sometimes. It's compelling and it's complex. It's motivating yet risky too. Hope is a precious and vulnerable gift. And there are so many kinds of hope. But the hope of our lectionary text seemed to me to be a kind of soul hope. Soul hope is different than our often wishful hoping. Soul hope speaks of a longing that is older, larger, deeper than our wish lists. It hopes for justice, living together well, for peace, for reconciliation and wholeness, healing in our wounded world. It hopes in the Christ of Christmas. Even though hope is a word as large as all of us here and beyond, these three windows have emerged for me to be our focus for today. One, hope holds waiting. Two, hope holds energy. And three, hope holds roots and holds story. Window one, hope holds waiting. I learned two Hebrew words in preparation for this, and my apologies to anyone who knows exactly how to pronounce these. Yahal and tikva. Is that correct? More or less. But both words for hope mean to wait for. Tikva is a concrete word, apparently, that can be used for cord or hope or rope that one can hold on to when things get out of control. Hope implies patient waiting and sometimes gritty waiting too. This echoes Eugene Peterson's bright summation when he says, "The Christian life is a long obedience in the same direction." Yachal and tikva. The biblical story is hugely about waiting. Jeremiah 33, which we heard, "The days are coming when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days, a righteous branch will sprout. This one will do what is just and right in the land." And do we also not wait for this kind of justice, what is just and right in the land? From Psalm 25, "You, Lord, are the one who makes me whole. I wait for your help every day. My hope is in you all day long." And waiting is often long. Praying is often long too. And waiting is often hard. I wrestle with texts like Romans 5, 3 to 5, which describe the cost of hope, of that kind of tenacious hope. It says, "We rejoice in our suffering," and I add, "in our waiting, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts. Hope is costly. Hope is not easy. So why is hope so hard for many? I don't pretend to know the answer, but our stories sometimes give us clues. Wounds, trauma, woundedness can freeze hope. So can regrets and our broken sinful nature. A repeating of bitter disappointments can weaken our vigor for hope. Some temperaments are optimistic by nature and have an ability to hope more realistically than the pragmatic pessimist. But for all of us, hope does hold waiting and praying these hopes into the heart of God. At the same time that we wait, our second window reveals that hope holds energy. Hope compels us to do something, to make a difference, to help where we can and as we can. Hope gives us energy also to pray. I think of the hope which has fueled MCC work for a long time. I think of the hope to recover wellness from addictions through the work of House of Refuge, as we experienced and learned about last Sunday. Hope is a fundamental pillar and foundation for this House of Refuge, and this hope is expressed by hard work, by deep giving, dedication, and determination by many. I think of the beautiful and committed work every Thursday morning of the food bank as hope in action. So is the vigilant, tender work for truth and reconciliation and for climate action. Does hope fuel the building of the new Menno Hall? Ask Kevin, ask Ken, ask Jonathan and its board members. Hope has boots on and brains in gear as people work together or as we face our individual challenges. Recently, I had an unexpected conversation with two immigrant workers in a local grocery store. As the conversation turned to being hopeful, I asked them, "What is hope to you?" The young woman smiled and in a sweet accent said, "Hope is a chance you can improve anything you want, a chance for you to change." And I wondered what her story might be. The other, a Brazilian student, said, "Hope is a way of going closer to your inner path, of reaching inside to know you can do what needs to be done to make things better." I was moved by their vibrant spirit and by the way both linked hope with action. They linked hope with energy. They linked hope as an inner longing with outward discipline. In the Luke passage read today, Jesus urges his friends and followers to be dressed, ready for service. Jesus speaks here to our posture of readiness and servant practice as we wait and work. Ora e labora, I love those words, are the Benedictine motto, pray and work. The waiting and work of hope are all part of the three comings of Advent. Advent celebrates the first coming of God as Messiah, and I often stop at the manger without letting Advent mean other comings of Christ too. Advent reminds us of the ongoing coming of Christ into our lives as we walk and share the journey of faith. And somehow, in our scientific world, our focus is less often on the Advent that awaits the return of Christ at a time no one knows, but which scriptures point to. 1 Thessalonians 3 speaks to an alert and ready consciousness and longing as the church waits for Christ's return. No wonder we need to meet regularly for worship and to encourage each other to make our love increase. Our third window has surprised me. Hope has roots, has a story. And the third window also speaks to the question, where does hope come from? And can it be nourished? My father often used to ask this question in a puzzled. He was always puzzled. He asked it in a different way. He says, what gives a person motivation? He was perplexed that not everybody was motivated. And I guess I asked the same question, but in a different way. Where does hope come from? In my explorations, I found a beautiful clue hidden inside the wisdom book of Ecclesiastes. I recognize that hope has roots. The book of Ecclesiastes is gritty. It feels so pragmatic because life is hard, including messes and mourning, hate and harm, darkness and death. But then comes this beautiful gem. God has made everything beautiful in its time. God has set eternity in our hearts. Yet we cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And it is these words that give me great pause. God has set eternity in our hearts. Could it be that God has planted a longing in us, a hoping for a holy harmony, for wholeness, for a wellness that is contagious? Could it be that hope for these God qualities has been seeded into us by the God of creation? Jesse Nichols spoke a few years ago in a sermon that I have never forgotten and that has haunted me and that continues to perk away in me. And he spoke about the possibility of a life as flourishing, a life reflecting a deep knowledge of the God in whose image we are made. And he called this flourishing Ashrei. It's a Hebrew word also. And I have had long conversations with Jesse about that amazing sermon. And I believe that God has planted this longing for wholeness in us, eternity in our hearts, the longing for justice, peace, for wellness. And this is where deep hope comes from in our waiting. Micah 6:8 is often quoted. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. In other words, to nourish what has been planted in us. How profound is this season of welcoming God's Son, Jesus, the radiance of God's glory. I am so thankful that we here are a community of gardeners who lean into hope, into love, and who tend and nurture the growing seeds of hope, both in waiting, praying, and in working. In the name of Emmanuel, God, come close. Amen.